Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back here to our 350th show in 6 years on Circles of Change. Of course, apropos that I would select a colleague that's also in the change space, particularly helping individuals take charge of their own lives and change. So I welcome Mo Vera. We're calling internationally. Good morning, or good evening, actually. Mo, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks very much for having me today.
Now, help our listeners understand where you're located, Mo.
Well, at the moment, I'm living in Abu Dhabi. My business is in Hong Kong, and my family is in the UK, and the other half is in Australia, so I yo-yo between all these countries.
That's right, which is a great way to collect clients then. So with that, let me introduce Mo. He's founder of, no question, Global Empowering Solutions. As a strategic interventionist and a career empowerment coach, he helps people take action and discover their empowered selves, taking performance to a new level and becoming the best they can be for themselves, their families, and their employers. Originally a civil engineer by academic training and a longtime international construction program leader, Mo was certified as a strategic intervention coach by the Robbins Medandis Coaching Training Institute. Based, as he said, in Abu Dhabi these days, Mo has had the privilege of coaching many professionals from all corners of the world, men and women of various backgrounds, typically between the ages of 23 and 55. In addition to business owners and entrepreneurs, Mo has coached graduate engineers, senior engineers, project managers, and company directors. So quite a transition, isn't it, Mo, from having been in the thick of leading on the line, as I call it, to now standing close with those who are doing it?
Oh, well, yeah, it's been a ride. It's been a great journey.
Well, I mentioned here Absolutely. That you've coached and you specifically singled out engineers. Of course, your own engineering background, you know, of course, that I'm an engineer. Might I start with that question then? Is it different for you to coach engineers on to take better control in their careers than people of other disciplines or upbringings?
I do focus on engineers, transport planners, architects, and so on, because that's where I have been and this is what I have done, so I can relate to their day-to-day problems at work, and maybe even the challenges with their bosses mm-hmm. and the way contracts are set up. But I suspect it's most of the challenges are very similar in for any professional, to be honest. But I do work a lot with engineers, architects, and transport planners, but I'm not limited to that. I've worked with many people from various backgrounds.
I think you're right, though. With my coaching practice, I realize I enjoy diversity, but there's still something special that happens when I find someone who comes to me that comes either out of an industry that I've been part of or from an engineering background. It's like you speak the speak already.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, Mo, when and how did you get into coaching then?
Well, up to a few years ago, I was a director of a very successful international engineering consultancy firm, but I was neither happy nor fulfilled. Mm-hmm. You know, on the face of it, I was, you know, very successful and had a job many people really love to have, but sadness, anger, worry, panic attacks, stress, frustration, arguments from my regular experiences. So I was quite disappointed with where I was in my life and in my career. So I had to take some decisions. I found, you know, a great coach, great career and results coach, and started taking action. And, you know, after sort of turning things around for myself, I tried to sort of make sense of it all and try and see, you know, what I wanted to do. And I really, I found through that process, my calling and passion, if you like, mm-hmm. which is to help others turn their careers around. So this is when I joined Robbins Medandis Training Institute to become a strategic interventionist. And so since then, I've made it sort of my life's ambition to help professionals manage their careers, take their performance to a whole new level.
And that's wonderful.
You mentioned yourself.
So, yeah, it's sort of like you had to live in your own science project and realize that, you know, boy, I want to now step up and be the scientist. The word strategic interventionist, Mo, I don't know that that's a term a lot of people are familiar with. Could you explain that for us, please?
Yeah, sure. It's basically strategic intervention is an approach, I can explain, by which the coach strategically, as the name implies, intervenes in the mindset, behavior, or the approach of the individual to help him or her to reach that aha moment, the light bulb moment, when they realize what has to be done. Strategic intervention, you know, helps the individual reach that for themselves by asking powerful questions, by being very strategic about the way you approach the problem, and hopefully, because if you told people what to do, they probably think, well, who is it to tell me what to do? But if you ask just some powerful questions, very strategically positioned, then that person would definitely realize it for himself or herself and take action, because then they would own that realization.
Exactly, yeah.
And then they would sort of own that decision, and then they will take more action.
Yeah, isn't it something, Mo, how many clients come to you or others that say, just give me the recipe and I'll go through the checklist. And that's not what it's about. It really has to come from the inside out, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Absolutely, it's got to come from them. It's got to be natural to them. They've got to sort of own it, basically. That's the thing.
I will say, though, your term strategic interventionist, this idea of get the light bulb to come on and have the structure methodology, I do hear an engineer in you talking there. So I suspect that this technique and process resonates really with how you've navigated so many technical issues or construction planning or budget issues. I mean, it just goes on and on, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Actually, now that you said
I caught
absolutely.
You, right.
There's my
I'm sure we'll get many other in this brief conversation. Mo, what do you think brings people to come to you? I mean, what are some of the typical problems that would say, Mo's the right coach for me?
Well, you know, people come to me because, you know, for various reasons. The younger graduates, if you like, junior staff, if you like, they come to me because they want to plan their career for the next 10 years.
They think
others
they can, exactly.
And others come to me because they want to move to a new company, they're looking for a job, or they're interested in getting the promotion they think they deserve, and so on. So, and then maybe they want to learn how to impress their managers, you know. So there's a variety of reasons why they would come to me. But in my experience, the majority of career problems are generally not limited to the issues at work, really. They generally stem from external or personal factors. You know, for example, one of my clients who was less of a team player and was not interested in interacting with others, you know, he was referred to me by his manager. You know, in our first session, you know, he broke down and actually cried. I've actually had so many people cry in the very first session, which is amazing. I suppose that's the effect of strategic intervention. This sort of helps them open up.
Yes, exactly. Though it's also a testimony to you, Mo, because I'm sure you've got a resonating ability that people feel safe with right away. And for our listeners considering a coach, that should be one of your first criteria, is to say, do I feel safe with this person?
Thank you very much for that. But yeah, I agree that, you know, you have to create a very safe, confidential environment where the person feels safe in actually opening up, and he's not going to be judged, because they're going to show their vulnerable side, and they can't do that, for example, with the family or with their colleagues or with their managers. So a coach sort of has a very unique place in one's life. In fact, you know, he's on your side, he's in your head, if you like. He's definitely on your side, but he's there to support you.
You're with him.
Well, we found that basically he had been bullied in school as a child, which has severely impacted his confidence level and self-esteem. So our first task was to sort of get him to let go of that story that he was telling himself and move forward. You know, his past was basically, you know, holding him back. and we had a sort of, and he was using certain metaphors without getting into too much detail on, in such a short interview. He was using certain metaphors that sort of was constantly, if you like, hypnotizing
him. Absolutely.
He was hypnotizing himself with what he was telling himself. Mm-hmm. And we had to get rid of that and replace that with some more positive metaphors. And hopefully, you know, actually we did manage to get rid of that metaphor, and he's now a much happier person. And sometimes other clients come to me with, you know, one thing in mind, but they realize they actually need support on other issues, you know. I once had a client who came to me because, you know, she felt that she needed to improve her nonverbal communication skills and emotions in order to, you know, improve her career opportunities. So I worked with her on gaining control of her nonverbal communications and her emotions. As we were going through those various types of possible emotions that could help her career and her self-confidence, she started sharing her feelings about an underlying frustration about her relationship or lack of it with her old friend. And she also started sharing that, that her, her children, who were in their 20s, felt that she was too controlling. And to cut the long story short, through our coaching program, she mastered her emotions, fixed her relationship with her friend, and gradually stopped being so controlling with her children. You know, so, you know, people come to you for one thing, and then, you know, one thing leads to another, and then you really get to the bottom of the problem.
And
you
know, I think
they
for,
don't know what's wrong.
Yeah,
they can't put their finger on it.
And I think what we get back to realize is that we all are a system. We're not just, we can't just compartmentalize one thing versus another part of our life. You're absolutely right. Well, Mo, I mentioned in the introduction with you being based in Abu Dhabi, having family, Hong Kong, Australia, clients around the world. Share with us, have you found any differences between your clients, perhaps based on nationalities? And the approach you take with them, and likewise, some kind of difference there?
I mean, individuals different from the other. You know, basically, as if you're familiar with Tony Robbins' work, he basically teaches that, you know, every human being has got six basic human needs, and you make life decisions or career decisions, basically decisions, any decision that you make in your life. They are dependent or made to satisfy at least the top two needs on this, on that list of six. And if I just tell you what those six are, the first one is certainty. You want to be safe, you want to be secure. Second one is variety. You want to have some variety in your life. Some people go bungee jumping, others go, you know, parachuting, and others sort of, they're not interested in such extreme sports or something, and so they just sort of, as long as something is different every week or so, they go to a different restaurant, there's a different dish that they usually eat, then that's enough variety for them. Third one is significance. They want to be important, they want to be respected, you know, they want to be seen as somebody who is contributing quite a lot to the team, so they want to feel good about being important as part of either the family or whatever. So, and the next one is love or connection. So you, as you know, that's very clear. You want to be loved and you want to love. And next one is growth. You want to grow. If you're not growing, something is sort of stagnating. You know, you feel something is dying inside you. And the last one is to contribute, to give something back to society or give something forward to society. You know, life has been good to you, or even if life hasn't been good to you, you see the benefit of actually sharing, because life is more than, you know, me. It's about we. It's about us. It's about, you know, there's something bigger than us. So, you know, all of us make decisions based on which of these six we hold more dear, you know, which ones, you know, which need comes first, which comes second, and so on. Typically, most of the decisions that you make are based on the first or the top two needs. And it's a different life. For example, if you have certainty at the top and love second,
right,
that person is living in a different world to somebody who's got love first and then certainty second, you know?
That's right.
Somebody who holds significance as very important may be on the slippery slopes of being, you know, arrogant, egotistical, narcissist or something. Somebody who values certainty at the top and variety at the end maybe could be seen by some as boring. So, you know, I'm not sure if it's sort of, if people are that different in terms of their needs, mm-hmm. yes, there are definitely cultural differences between people, you know, but I genuinely think that most of us are driven by the same needs.
But what I might offer, just like I kind of caught you there on your engineering structure side, is this framework of the six plays very nicely to yourself and your own choice to become a coach. I mean, I know from my own life, having the variety is spectacular, having the opportunity to be connected with people, to do something that has lasting impact, that I know I'm certain for you, like it is for me. I learn every bit from those I coach that they learn from me. So it's that whole teacher-student. Isn't that true? Well, I know in addition to different cultures, you also are working across generations. Might you comment on the differences there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes, obviously. But people sort of are at different stages in their lives, so they've got different needs. You know, when you're younger, maybe because you want to get educated, maybe because you want to get married in the future, you're trying to build a life, so growth is a lot more important mm-hmm. to you at that point in your life. But, you know, uncertainty doesn't play such a strong thing in your life, you know. But as you get much older, as you sort of probably approach your retirement age and, you know, you have lived a good life, then at that point, certainty is a lot more important to you because you want to, now you need a secure future, you're getting old and, you know, and you've paid your dues and mm-hmm. it's now time to be taken care of, if you like, or for your future to be secure so you can relax and, have a nice retirement period, basically. So, yes, depending on where you are in your life, various needs become more important to you.
That's absolutely right. So that can sculpt the way in which you interact. We're speaking with Mo Vera, by the way. He's the founder of Global Empowering Solutions, and that, in fact, is his website, globalempoweringsolutions.com. Mo, I know you've co-authored a book here recently called The 101 Great Ways to Compete in Today's Job Market. I know we don't have time to go through 101, but perhaps maybe one or two that might be some aha, not be a mindful of in this day and age. What might those be?
I think the thing about what we do as coaches, that I think what we teach is probably quite obvious and quite mm-hmm. Logical, but people don't put them into action. So
that's it.
I think one of the items that, you know, we cover in the book is about communication. Now, how do you communicate to your potential employer that you are in fact the right person, you know, for the job? As you may know, research shows that, you know, 55% of our communication is done through our body postures. And only a shocking 7% is done through our words. So it is not so much what you say to potential employees, it's all about your body language, you know, and again, this is an area that, you know, a career coach can help the individual perfect, if you like, or improve. Mm-hmm. The desired outcome. Now, imagine if a potential employer filmed you at the interview or at a networking event, or even if your current employer filmed you around the office and then watched you on a television with the sound muted.
Mm-hmm.
What would they think? Would they see a desperate person who's overwhelmed with problems, or would they see a person who is confident, focused, and professional in his or her demeanor? You know, so you got to be very careful what you're communicating. You know, how will you sit, stand, walk, or shake hands with a potential employer to convey confidence, or, you know, whatever you're trying to convey, basically? What body postures should you adopt? You know, I can't tell somebody what postures they should adopt, but we can talk about the emotion or the state of mind they want to have, and then we can talk about what's natural to them.
Absolutely. You know, it's something, you know, how people miss the major influence that our smile, our eye contact, our handshake have. But you brought up a good one, and that is, are you one that walks down the center of the hall with your head up, or are you hugging the wall with it down? It tells you everything, doesn't it? Well, Mo, in addition to your book, of course, you've got a webinar series you're going to gear up soon. Why don't you share some of that with us?
Right, yeah. I mean, we have a six-week webinar starting very soon called How to Make a Bold Career Move, Six Steps to the Job of Your Dreams. So this program is for people who may feel stuck in a job that they don't totally enjoy, or maybe they feel that their career feels a little flatlined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a bit awful to be stuck in a job that, you know, you don't really enjoy. doesn't it? So, you may have hopes and dreams for your career. You may have a dream job in mind, but the job you have right now isn't it. So how do you get out of that, and how do you get the job that you really want to have? And this is what we have come up with. I've teamed up with two other great coaches by the name of Catherine Jewell and Richard Winfield. And the three of us have put a great program together that basically takes you through six basic steps to be able to go after the job of your dreams. And the first one is, if I could just give you the six titles at least, of the six steps. The first step is to discover who you really are.
Sure.
And, we cover how to sort of dig deep and find out who you really are and what you want out of your life and your career. Then you can build a personal mission statement that inspires, that inspires you. And then after that, the third step is to break through your limiting career
right.
beliefs. And the fourth one is to get focused, take action and feel confident. And the fifth one is network your way to a great new job. And the sixth one is the obvious one, to take initiative now, take action now, which is the spark up that fuels career growth. So the program starts on the 3rd of September, which is not long from now, and runs for about 6 weeks. Each week we get on a teleseminar for 1 hour. It's actually a webinar, so we have PowerPoint mm-hmm. presentations. They will receive the prepared presentations as well after the call. They will get the recording of the calls. They can listen to it over and over again to see and take great notes and so on. So it's going to be an amazing, amazing program, because if we look at my career as well as Catherine's and Richard's, we bring together many decades of experience in personal and career development to sort of help the individual achieve or get the job of their dreams.
You bet.
So,
and in fact,
amazing.
In the mix, I'm sure, too, you're also going to share that it didn't always go right, but those are going to be characterized as learnings in the process. Well, Mo Vera, thank you so much for joining us. For listeners, you can learn more about Mo's work as well as this upcoming webinar process that works globally, folks, regardless of time zone, by visiting globalempoweringsolutions.com. Mo, thank you so very much. Thanks for staying up so late in Abu Dhabi as well, and we'll catch you in the near future.
Thanks for having me.
You
Thanks
bet.
For now. Take care for now.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
My pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.